Our second lesson this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, from the 23rd chapter of that book. And reading those verses that you see listed in there, 1 through 12, in the bulletin. Jesus has been having a difficult time trying to relate to those in the society, especially the Sadducees, all those that were so concerned about making the law supreme. You know, the law in the Old Testament used to be called the Pentateuch. Penna meaning first five books: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. All this was to be everything that we needed for salvation, because this was the law book of then the Jewish people. Now, Jesus was having a difficult time because of the attitude of the people about what they were to do. And he was trying to say there's something more here from the human perspective and the human spirit. It's not all about obeying these laws, but it's about your attitude, about who you are. Now, my daughter used to love to use, she said, one of the children misbehaving, you need to go to AA, and that's attitude adjustment. And so she would do something to kind of change that, where it was tickling them or making them do a chore, but something to get their mind off what had been going on. But Jesus had been working and struggling with these, and he still struggles in this passage as he tries to speak and to get through to the lawmakers. Hear this word. Then said Jesus to the crowd and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Moses, the great lawgiver. He is honored and revered always as a great lawgiver. So practice and observe whatever they tell you, but do not do what they do. You know, if you preach, you got to practice it. Say, that's what he's saying. But do not do what they do, what they do to preach, but do not practice. They bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, and they themselves will not move one of them with their fingers. They do all their deeds to be seen by men, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at the feast and the best seats in the synagogue and salutations in the marketplace and being called rabbi by men. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brethren. And call no man what your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. And neither be called masters, for you have one Master, the Christ. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, sometimes these scriptures are hard to read. You did a good job with those names. At the early service, as I read from the book of Joshua, I think I added some new names to the scripture reading, because some of them are difficult to pronounce. But this is All Saints Sunday, a Sunday in which we come to give thanks for the saints that have touched your life and mine. People who have been encouragers, people who have given us new insight, people who have been a model for us in how we live and conduct our lives. You know, who are the saints that have touched your life that you look back and give thanks for? The title of the sermon is Communion with the Saints. Have you been in communion with the saint today? All those who are seeking to follow Christ are saints, and those who have gone on from their reward. Do we communicate with them? I think we do. Now, there are many things going around in our society and have been going around for years. The number one selling game now that I saw the other day in some kind of news flash was the Ouija board. You remember that one? You know, sit down, dark, ask questions, get answers. Back when Kanye and I were dating, I was reading the New York Times and it had in there that James A. Pike, lawyer, bishop, and one that was kind of out in left field, as we would say today. He was not known to be conservative, but very forward-thinking. Found out that he was going to be lecturing at Duke. I said, I want to go. Let's go. So we went. No places left, but right down the front row. We were right in front of James A. Pike, and he lectured. He had his brief, knew exactly what he was going to say, was outlined, had it in his mind, and he talked to us. He lost a son many years later, and he started participating with groups seeking to talk to his son who was deceased. Now, we would like to have that kind of communion, conversation, intake, input from people that we have lost, wouldn't we? But I think we do. We do have that. Have you ever thought about when you were doing something? Well, that's just like mother used to do it. Oh, that's what dad told me to do. You know, it's when those people who have died that have gone on that have been our mentors, loved ones, they have pointed a way for us to go and to direct our life. I think when we realize that, we are communing with the saints, those who have gone on. How is it with you in communing with the saints that have touched your life? In some families that are dysfunctional, we can all be dysfunctional at one time or another. There have been reasons for people to choose other mentors for their life and how they would follow the Christ, how they would live, how they would direct their life, and it's been through the influence of some special person that has taken the time to listen, to hear, and to be concerned about him. You know, who are the saints that have touched your life? There are those people that have been there for you. And you remember some of the things they taught you and told you and shared with you. And they have touched your way in a life that reverberates, and their voices or their things that they were seeking to give to you to live your life, it's there and it comes back to you. I think you're in communion with the saints. My mother was born in 1895, died in the 80s. She got married when she was about 1915. She attended 2 years of college then. That was all you needed in those days. And began teaching school. She met my dad. He was older, lived in Garner. He was working on the railroad and he started visiting her, but they always courted in the family room with the rest of the family. Changes have happened. But mother taught and she was a person that I admired and am grateful today for her life. One of the places she taught was in Pine Tops. It was another one near Vast, Lakeview. And she talked about living there, and the children that she taught mostly came from the north. They would come down on the train. That was a big run then. And then she said, one day we got into the carriage and rode over to Pinehurst to the moving picture show. It was back then, you know, used to do slides and words underneath, but this was moving picture show. The saints are the people that move us on to living a better life because of the example they give, because of the teachings that they give, and because the life that they have lived, it ministers to us. And we are very grateful to them. We're going to name some people here in a few moments. And these are people that have lost, we have lost this last year. Saints are those who lift up Christ. And there are people that try to give you a picture of what you can be and who you ought to be. They encourage you and they lift you up. There are many stories about the saints of God and what they have done. And you know them from your own life. People that you respected, that you honored, and that you have observed how they have lived. And now they have gone on to their reward, and we can commune with them when we lift up some of the qualities of their life and let it be a part of ours. Isn't it great if we would be those who commune now with the people around us, what God has done for us, and what we would love to see as God directs their life. The abilities, the talents, the gifts, all these things that we can do as one person. Because we know that Jesus died for our sins, and that we have a Savior, and the Savior is the one of all the saints of life and of us right now. Thanks be to God for those stalwart Christians who have etched out a way in the life of the church and the community of faith to proclaim and to say, come follow me as you have followed your Lord, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious Father, you are very aware of each of our hearts and lives, and you seek to bless us with your presence that is so strong. Continue to empower us through your Holy Spirit, and bless us, we pray, as we seek to be the people of God, your people. Amen. I hope you will look at the bulletin and see the prayers and concerns of people on the back page that are it's on the insert that you will see the names listed. And I have one to add here. Prayer list, Mike Hendricks and family need to be in prayer for them. And you see the others listed there in the heavy black square of all those we want to have on our prayer list. And Panthea and Charles are here with us today, but we still lift you up in prayer. We're just glad you're here. Thank you for being here. And many others on this list that have come in and out, but we're glad to see them today. Are there other names you want to lift up? Before we do that, I would like us to read out the names of all those that have died since last All Saints Day. And as we do that, Leon is going to make a sound after each one, and then we'll close with a prayer. Hear now these names: Eleanor Hester Dickens, Eugene Caldwell Burryhill, Harriet Brewer Buckley Wagstaff, Catherine Long Snodgrass, Betty Lane Long, Beatrice Painter Crowder, Dallas Adkers Rhodes Jr., Eloise Rimmer White. Heavenly Father, on this All Saints Day, we give thanks for all the saints of yours We especially give thanks for the one in our congregation and our community of faith. Those names that have been lifted up and those names that we lift in our hearts before you.